Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are with us, both myself and my co-host here. We're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself. Come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And if you'd like to be part of our program, we'd love to take your call, answer your questions. And if you'd like to just be a participant and learn from...
Just want to listen or listen to the
glad
podcast? You're here.
Glad you're here.
Yes.
And we've been doing this many years, and yet we're fortunate enough that we still have listeners after 20-some-odd years.
That's because there's new people being born every day.
People tuned off.
Truly.
Yeah, well, tell you, every once in a while I run into somebody, are you still doing that radio show? I'm looking, I'm like...
Yeah, that's okay.
Still doing it. And it is, we're over halfway through the month of January. How are we all doing with the resolutions, New Year's resolutions? That's the question.
Yes.
And if one is on your finances.
Then listen to the show. Download the podcast.
Go to a workshop.
You know,
have a meeting with a financial advisor.
You know, so
have a meeting with a good financial advisor. It's worth your time.
I shared a podcast last week. I didn't know that you could share podcasts with other people until I thought, I wonder if I could
you
share.
You mean the little button forward where it says share and you push the thing and you can text it to somebody or email it to somebody?
Never noticed before.
I've shared some things with you.
Have you? Oh, you have.
And I've shared with other members on the organization sometimes. Listen to something quite interesting.
Click. That's how you did it. I didn't know how you did it. I just, showed up in my inbox one day.
And look, and if you are in your mid-50s preparing for retirement, you know exactly what we're talking about. You still learn things. The technology, like our kids, like, it's. I don't know if it's just more intuitive for them. Well, clearly, my daughter spends much more time on her phone than I spend on my phone.
Yes.
Because it's attached to her.
Yes.
Part of her.
Yeah. Anyway. But over the Christmas break, my car has Bluetooth in it. I get in the car, and my kids home from college were using my car, and I get in there and nothing.
My phone doesn't work.
And
you do know how to fix that.
I did fix that. No, I did fix it, but I had to pull over. I'm not complaining about the Bluetooth. You don't know how hard it is.
The troubles, the grave injustices in the world. Anyway, we're a financial program helping people get prepared for retirement, help them transition into retirement, and to have income that lasts throughout the rest of their life. And it's interesting, retirement is, for most people, it's about a season of their life where they have more choices.
Yes.
And I think most people, it's not so much that they want to just kick back and sit on the couch and do nothing. It's that they want to have options. They want more control in their life. And they might be in a career where they're stuck, maybe a lot of travel with their career or stuck with a certain time schedule or whatnot. And that's why we focus a lot on retirement savings.
So
and if you'd like to be
part... Go to the calls?
Yeah, if you want to be part of the program, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. 1-888-242-6766. And let's start in Sacramento with Roxanne. Roxanne, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Okay, great. Well, my husband and I are planning to retire in about 5.5 years, so we're doing some pre-planning now. My husband works for Sacramento County, and they allow you to purchase what they call airtime, which can add up to 3 years towards your years of service for retirement. If you worked in another public sector, such as the military, which my husband did.
Okay.
And so we're trying to decide whether we should do this. It costs, if you pay out of pocket, it costs $35,000. Or if you take payroll deductions for about the next 5.5 years, it's $42,000. We've figured out that it'll probably increase his retirement $660 a month. So we figure in a little over 4 years, it'll pay for itself,
even though
we won't see the benefit for 10 years because he's not going to retire for 5.5 and then four and a half after that.
How old will he be when he starts receiving a pension of the $660?
Well, he's going to retire right at about 60.
Okay. And how old is he now?
He's 54.
Okay.
So just 6 years from now.
Right. We're looking at retiring in right about 6 years.
And
so
what's
we're just trying to decide. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, and what's the monthly pay-in over the pay-in, not as a lump sum, but if it's payroll deduct, how much is it a month and for how long?
It's for about 5.5 years, and I have to look it up real quick. I have it.
Because you added up just the amount of payments, but that ignores what's called the time value of money, which is actually really what money's all about.
It says it's for $325 for 130 biweekly payments, which comes out to a little over 42.
Okay. And what is your question for us?
So we're trying to decide if it makes sense to do something. I mean, it sounds good to get an extra 660-month retirement.
Yes.
And right now, there's not a whole lot you can do with your money. Our mortgage is already paid off. We currently max every year on our 457 for him and my 401k. So we've put, you know, $24,500 a year in each of those. We can't put any more in that. We've got some money in the bank.
How much do you have in the bank?
We have about 100 in just savings.
Okay. All right, so let me walk you through this. Let me
I just so the 660 a month if at age 60, assuming he lives 25 years, which is probably about standard for that, that's worth about $112,000.
And the right return
there,
is five.
I assumed a 5% rate in there. So,
this is actually almost assuming your husband is in good health. This is not a tough decision. You want to do this?
Yes.
Okay. This would be a great. In fact, you would actually you could minimize any portion of your bond portfolio on your 401k or 457 plans and make this the bond portion of the portfolio. If need be, but you don't need to do
it. It's the guarantee you're getting in there is much higher than any guarantee you can get in the open marketplace.
And the only reason this is still allowed to him is because you're bridging military service. The airtime that used to be offered to state and county, mostly state employees, is no longer offered. So then the second question is, how do you pay for it? Right?
Right.
So I like using the money in the bank.
Yeah.
And this is why. You use the money in the bank. It actually acts as a tax deferral on that. So if you take $35,000 right now and you go ahead and you give it to them, then that is going to actually, as it comes paying out, that $3,500 is going to come to you tax-free, and all the growth on that is going to be taxed at whatever level your tax rate is at.
But it's deferred until that time.
So you would want to just go to your bank account, take out the $35,000, and give them a check, and boom, call it a day.
Well, we've already paid taxes on $35,000.
That is correct.
$35,000 in our bank, we've already paid.
You won't pay tax again. So what happens in the future? That $660 per month won't be fully taxable. Only the growth on it will be.
Yeah, a portion of that will be excluded from tax.
Oh, okay.
So you're never going to pay tax on the same dollar twice. So a portion of your monthly pension will be excluded from tax. So that's why you want to use the after-tax dollars if you can, because it's basically allowing you to take non-deferrable dollars and make them deferred, assuming you're going to retire in the same state, the state of California, in which you are living. Are you going to do that?
Probably not. We probably will move once we retire, just that. Make a difference in
What's
the
difference?
Yeah, it's actually better for you.
Yeah.
It's better for you.
Okay.
It's better for
you. Well, that's why we're not going to retire in California.
Well, then let's talk about that some more. So your husband, does he have a 401k and a 457 available to him or just a...
No, he just has 457, but I have a 401k.
And do you
so
have
we
a...
max both out.
Okay. All right. There's not much else you can do. But you want to pay for it. You absolutely want this.
Okay.
I mean,
when they
used to offer this to anybody, you can buy up to 5 years. I'd make statements like, look, if you don't want to do it with your money, I'll do it with my money.
Okay.
Right? I mean, Because it was such a great, the guarantees on them too good.
And then when we really wanted to insult our clients, we'd tell them it's an IQ test and and they need to do it if they want to pass. That's why our clients love us.
Too good to be true.
No, it's only available to, remember, this isn't available to everyone. It's just bridging that military service. So at one point in time, your husband may have had a deferred vested pension or something built up in his military service that would have bridged, and it didn't bridge, and they're allowing you
I'm
to put
sure
that money
in. I'm sure this is costing the county and county taxpayers.
Oh, it's not good for the taxpayers, your neighbors.
No, but you're talking about bridging, but I don't think the federal government for the military is kicking anything on this.
This is good. Roxanne, this is good for you and your husband and bad for all of your neighbors, so congrats.
That's right.
Okay, wonderful. Well, great. Well, thank you so much for your time. We love your show.
All right, thank you, Roxanne. Wish you guys well. Let's continue with calls. 1-888-2-HANSEN. We're in the Bay Area with Tim. Tim, you're with Hanson McLean.
Pretty simple question, actually. I have had an advisor for the last 10 years, and he just became so successful. Actually, he ended up retiring. So I've been looking for...
How old was he? What do you mean? Just because I know a lot of very successful, wealthy financial advisors that are still advising. I know one, he's about 80. So how old was this guy?
So he's in his 60s.
Okay, he just got burnt out probably then.
So the thing is I've kind of have pretty simple. So I've had a financial advisor, and I think my situation is fairly simple. And I've kind of gotten to the point I've been looking for an advisor, but I don't think the services and kind of the existing plans that the services I think that I might need are a lot less than kind of the. Kind of either the percent asset or kind of the flat fees are being charged. But I'd really like to have an advisor, so I'm kind of stuck in the point. There's nobody that really does anything that I can see that's kind of an hourly fixed rate.
There's an organization, what is it, the Garrett Network. The Garrett Network, Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, I believe, Garrett. And it's a consortium of hourly-based financial advisors. So there actually is a group of financial advisors. It's about 1% of all. It's less than 1% of all financial.
And they charge by the hour, or charge by the plan.
And the reason you're like, why aren't there more of these? And it comes down to, I'll be real frank with you, it's just economics. There are enough. There's enough demand out there for people willing to pay for full service financial advice that most advisors say I'd rather. Not have an hourly fee. And frankly, a lot of clients don't really like the meter running every time they have a question. They prefer a structure where an advisor is kind of on the same team and they have the same objective. And when they communicate with their advisor, there's no fee involved. They're just communication because they think it's helpful for
them. Yeah, so if you go on to your search engine and type in Garrett Financial Network, San Francisco or wherever you live, and I'm sure three or four will pop up, and then just call them up and or go to the websites and see how they charge. And how much money are you talking about that you have managed?
About $1.2 million, and then not including the house.
Okay. Yeah. And if it's not complicated, then, you know.
And we might see more of this in the future.
That's what I think. I mean, if you have somebody that's done everything and they think they've done pretty well, they've gotten the advice, I mean, they're going to hit kind of the top of an S curve. And then, you know, essentially it's a matter of just kind of managing things. Maybe you need to rebalance, review things. But if you're not getting a lot of things changing, essentially, you know, there's not a lot to do. I don't mind paying for the service or the time. But, you know, if you're still working, you're basically on a W-2 or whatever, you look at your tax situation and kind of bang your head against the wall.
The challenge is there's enough demand out there for people that, and it's kind of easy when it's 9 years into a bull market, people kind of forget I shouldn't say the hand-holding, but frankly, a lot of a financial advisor's role, I think a lot of the value that I've added over the years, to be real frank with you, is keeping people from making mistakes.
But Scott, the idea that the problem with the hourly is that you're not going to call that person up and have them rebalance the portfolio when it's doing well. We screen our portfolios on a weekly basis to make sure that they're within a risk tolerance, the average consumer isn't going to do that for themselves. to make sure that it's a risk tolerance. And if the portfolio, let's say you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to have this portfolio looked at every 3 months.
Well, he could use a robo option for his asset management.
Yes, yeah, you could use a robo option.
And pay for it. But the challenge you're going to have with a financial advisor, not to say there's not great hourly financial advisors, but a great financial advisor, they can look at it and say, for my, just like you would at work, I don't know what kind of profession you're in, but if you're thinking, I could get this job where I'm going to get paid this pay or take this other job and take a lower pay, everything else being equal, you'd probably take the job with the higher pay. Fair?
Well, I'm in the services business. I don't mind paying for the time if there's value being added. But go ahead.
Yeah. So you may actually decide to pop around on a couple of these robo sites and see if that makes sense for you to plug yourself into there. And see if that makes sense. And then you could go pay for any financial advice by the hour. Yeah. So I would start with the Garrett Network.
Yeah.
All righty. Appreciate it.
Good luck to you, Tim. And again, I'm sure there's some great advisors in there.
What's her name?
Cheryl.
Cheryl Garrett. Yeah.
Yeah. She said, I mean, I like the concept.
Yeah.
But I know a lot, I don't know many advisors that would, for many advisors, I'll just be laying the cards out there, they would take a pay cut
to
have that kind of a business. Because the pay demanded, I haven't seen, it's not like law or good accountants where you're seeing high hourly rates. I mean, the best attorneys.
Yeah, I mean, they'll charge you a lot of money.
$1,000 an hour.
$1,000
right?
an hour.
Yeah, I mean, and not to say that, by the way, if one of our legal counsel is saying, well, I'm not paying $5, I'm going to raise my rates on you. Just kidding. But different parts of the country and that sort of thing as well. But you don't see that in the financial advisor. But you might find a great advisor. There could be great financial advisor that is charging
by the hour.
And let's continue with calls again. 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766. We're with Han in Northern California. Han, you're with Hanson McLean.
Oh, good afternoon.
Hi, Han.
Hi.
Hi. How can we help you?
I just got a question. Like, I bought some stock a long time ago, 20, 30 years ago, like Oracle, Microsoft.
Okay.
You know, I paid very, very low price on it.
Uh-huh.
Then for their dividend, I reinvested on it.
Uh-huh.
So now, you know, I retire now. So I try to sell it, and then people told me, you're going to pay a lot of capital gain, and why don't you keep it? So I just wanted to get your advice. Which way should I go?
Well, do you need the money?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you have is any one of these stocks more than 5% of your total portfolio, your investment portfolio?
No.
I wouldn't.
Most of my.
I mean, I would.
Most of my.
Go ahead.
Most of my investments on state retirement, they manage for me.
I mean, kind of our rule here at Hanson McLean when we work with clients is if there's an investment that maybe we wouldn't recommend that particular investment today, but if the tax benefit, if the tax burden is so large, there has to be something pretty wrong with the investment for us to recommend to get rid of it.
So first of all, it has to be a large enough amount of this against the size of your portfolio that you lack complete lack of diversification. So if you said, 40% of my portfolio is in Microsoft and Oracle stock, then we'd worry. But if it's only a few percentage and you've got big gain in it.
Sorry. No, for this is my own stock.
Yeah, I get it.
For each one of them, probably get about 25% of my portfolio.
Oh.
So I got about 4 or 5 stock,
uh-huh.
And each one is about equal amount. And now, you know, they're up to about, you know, all together is about $300,000.
Okay. So you've got a non-diversified portfolio that you are afraid to diversify because you've got capital gains in it.
Right.
I would sell the stock and take the capital gains hit and diversify the portfolio.
Yes.
What percentage? I have to pay.
Well, it depends. So your cost basis. So did you hold this in a stock or a brokerage account, or did you hold this right at the custodian?
Or just
in my own account, in my E-Trade account.
Okay, so they know the basis in this. So you know the basis in this stock. So you just do the math. Capital gains rate, marginal state income tax rate, your basis minus the current market value.
Capital gains is 15 or 20% for federal. Wow. And then state of California, it's essentially the same as the ordinary income tax rate.
So it's going to be somewhere between 20 and 30%.
Wow, that's quite a bit.
Well, you made the money, didn't you?
Well, that's true, but...
But what? You're unhappy? You have to pay taxes. That's unusual.
I think the first question was, Pat said, did you ask if you needed the money, and you said no. So if you don't care about the money, then don't do anything. I mean, if you truly don't need it, whether it's worth $300,000 or $200,000 or million or zero, if it makes no difference to you, then one could argue do nothing. One could also argue if you don't need it, then clearly what's the big deal about paying the taxes so you can have a diversified portfolio?
I know what I would do. I'd sell the stock, bring the portfolio back in diversification. I'd pay the gain.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. That's what I would do. And I'd figure out what my tax liability.
Now, earlier we thought it was just a few percentage of your portfolio.
That's why it changed. Yeah. But you said now when we started the conversation, we thought it was less than 5% of the portfolio. That's not the case. So,
if I add my retirement account to it, that's about 5, 10%. But just on the stock investment myself, that's pretty high.
Okay. So the answer, again, is if it's a small percentage of your portfolio and you're comfortable with the risk, then do nothing. If it is a large percent of your portfolio and it is not diversified, then pay the gain. Better yet, if you're charitably inclined, you should be gifting these stocks to your favorite charity.
Okay.
Now, if you give anything to charity, it should be these shares and not cash, because you can deduct the fair market value, and essentially the capital gain gets moved to the charity. They're nonprofit; they don't have to pay the capital gain.
Or you could give it away to if you're giving any money to any of your friends or relatives. I would give it to them. I would give it to them in these shares.
Wouldn't give any dollar.
I wouldn't give them the Microsoft stock or Oracle stock. And here you go, son.
That way, they might be at a 0% capital gain tax rate,
and they'd take the gain on it. Or if you were in poor health, it gets a full step-up basis at your death.
I think that seems to be a little extreme. Here's the real challenge. You're trying to answer a question by looking at something in a vacuum. And it really the answer lies in what it is Hans trying to accomplish financially, and how does this work with all your other assets and your spending. I mean, that's where it really needs to come into play. And then you might say, I'm not going to make any changes at all. Or it might be, I'm going to sell some now and sell some later. It might mean I'm going to use some options to protect this position while I unwind it over the next 3 years.
What you can do.
So there's a number. But I think what needs to happen is that it needs to be part of an overall financial planning strategy. And that's really looks at what's going to give the highest probability for Hans' financial success, both today and next year and 20 years out, and looking at all those things together. And that's after you kind of look through all those things, it'll give you some more clarity on whether it makes sense. And nobody likes paying capital gain taxes. Nobody likes paying taxes, right? I don't like paying taxes any more than the next person. But we've seen enough people over the years that have not been diversified. And when the stock market fell, their portfolio never came back because of the lack of the diversification, the particular industry that they had, the particular company that they had. And so sometimes you think, you were a fool. You should have paid the capital gain tax. You would have been much further ahead than by keeping companies that you didn't know anything about, et cetera. So anyway, we would highly recommend that you do this in conjunction with your financial advisor, looking at your entire portfolio, and I think that'll give you the most amount of clarity. Appreciate the call. Well, we are going to take a quick break here, but Pat, you're holding up the sheet. So excited, the big smile on your face.
It's the 7 personal decision points. It's the workshops that we've done last year that we had to close a number of them because we didn't have enough room.
I think in 2018, we had something like 5,000 people come to our workshops.
To the 7 personal decision points, which is the
It might have been all of, I don't know. It's interesting because we've been doing workshops a long time, over the years, And it's like demand keeps growing and growing. They're getting more and more popular.
Well, this is a program that we wrote for people in retirement transition, which is the 7 personal decision points for retirement transition. You're not going to see it anywhere else. I like giving the workshop. The advisors like giving the workshop. It's easy to understand. And people walk away with something of substance. You'll walk away saying, I better understand my situation.
And the workshops are this week. There's no charge for them. There's roughly 75 to 90 minutes long. No charge for them. But in the Sacramento region, we'll be in Sacramento, Auburn, Elk Grove, Roseville, and Rancho Cordova. So they're Tuesday through Thursday in the evening, start at 6:45, Saturday at 11:15. And also this week, we'll be in the Denver region, Denver Tech Center, Broomfield, West Lakewood, and Highlands Ranch. Again, Tuesday through Thursday at 6:45, Saturday at 11:15. The following week, we'll be in the Bay Area, Pleasanton, Petaluma, Concord, and San Mateo. For all the details about this, simply go to HansonMcLean.com/workshops. HansonMcLean.com/workshops. If you're thinking of going, you're going to want to register soon because these do fill up, and we want to see you there. So HansonMcLean.com/workshops. We're taking a quick break. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson here.
Pat McLean.
We're talking about financial matters and financial stuff.
Yeah, you know, Scott, before we go to the calls, but if you want to call in, we'll get to your call. It's 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. That's 888, obviously, 888-242-6766. So that's 242-6766. But I wanted to talk a little bit about a client situation that an advisor of ours in the Sacramento area, in Roseville. Her name is Barbara Healy. She's been with us for, I don't know, quite a long time. Very professional, a great advisor. Clients seem to like her. I was going to say clients love her, but that would be promissory. And
it's funny, we have all these rules in our industry. You can't have testimonials, can't be promissory.
Yeah, you can't. So I can't say, I could say, clients love Barbara Healy, but you or may not love
we
Barbara
can't,
Healy.
You know, we can't have testimonials. So if someone says, I'd like to talk to some clients that have had good experience, we can't even do that. I mean,
we're
as registered investment advisors.
Which is probably good overall in the industry.
Overall, you can only imagine the kind of things.
Yeah, people. Yeah, he doubled my money in 4 days before he lost it all.
The attorneys, you can. You know, Joe Schmo attorney got me $2.4 million, my motorcycle accident. You see ads like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So Barbara sent us an email about a situation that she ran into with a client. And I wanted to talk about it a little bit because it kind of highlights the difference between investments and financial planning.
Yes.
That's what it really highlights that. So this was a 56-year-old widow that came into the office, and she had approximately $600,000 in a trust. All that means is it was in a brokerage account outside of an IRA, and it was in a big firm.
At one of the major firms.
A big, big firm. Big, big, big firm. Located possibly out of Boston.
Well, it was just a call center. Whenever she had something, she always talked to somebody new because it kept being a different advisor.
Yes.
Just assigned to somebody.
So at one point in time, one of the people in the call center recommended a revamp of the portfolio. Just basically a wholesale change.
Well, they're basically saying, why don't we move to more of an advisory account? You bought these funds years ago, but no one's really managing them. Why don't we put them into our managed program? We'll charge you a fee. It's less expensive than a full service financial advisory firm might charge. So,
but it's more expensive than you doing it without this program.
That's not the issue here.
That isn't the issue. The issue is the bad advice.
Here's the issue, and you might find this issue yourself.
This is the bad advice. In doing so, they took everything and basically liquidated it. Boom. All of
everything.
It. Everything. Just all $600,000. And so she recognized $109,000 in capital gains. $109,000.
Cost you $25,000 in taxes.
So here's the problem with that. Under current tax law, if she held those until she died, it would have received a full step up in basis. But she's young. She's 56. But there was no analysis done as to whether what she had was good or bad, or whether it needed to be, or there was no technique put into place in order to do it over a series of years.
Some analysis. What good financial planning is, firms like Hanson McLean, I mean, with IRAs, it's great because there's no tax consequences. You can make all kinds of changes. There's no tax implications. But money that's held outside of those in brokerage accounts and trusts, et cetera, anytime there's going to be a large tax implication, a good financial advisor will look at it and say, wait a minute, what are we going to get in return for the taxes we're going to pay? And is it going to be worth our while?
It doesn't mean that you don't decide to go ahead and liquidate and pay the taxes.
You might.
You might, but you may not. But the point is that there's a
And oftentimes, Pat, people come to us, they've had a position for years. It might not be an A-plus position for us, but if it's a B-plus...
And you can avoid the capital gains?
To avoid the capital gains, it's good enough. Let's keep it.
Exactly. So in this situation, the call center recommends this, and they reduced her stock exposure. It was pretty alarming as well, from 60% down to 20%.
For some reason.
For some reason. And then when she called to complain, the manager told this 56-year-old widow that they're not required to discuss capital gains, and it was her problem. Fortunately, we were able to get them to reverse the trades and avoid the capital gains. Fortunately, we were able to fix or resolve a lot of the problem.
Yeah, so that's something to watch out for. Let's go to the calls. 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Joe in Texas.
Hi.
Hi, Joe.
Got a question.
Fire away.
Okay, I am going to retire in 2 years. I have a retirement plan from my employer that is split 50-50 between equities and bonds and cash. My advisor is suggesting that I turn my bonds, my more secure side of my retirement plan, into a defined income variable annuity. Concern is that smart to take the more secure side of my retirement and put it into this?
So how big is this account?
That would be about $500,000.
How old are you?
I'm 71 and a half.
And this money's in your company 401k plan?
This is what we call an optional plan. It's a 401k plan. I work for a university.
Got it.
And will you have a pension plan as well? Are you retired? No.
I'm still working.
Yeah, I'm retiring in 2 years. Will you have a pension?
No pension. We have that 401.
Yeah.
What is it?
How much does Social Security bring in for you?
About $2,600 a month.
And are you married?
Yes.
And does your wife receive Social Security as well?
No.
Okay. And
what's the benefit of moving this bonds and cash into what's this annuity supposed to be?
Guaranteed withdrawal income on it.
The benefit we're told is that we'll get a guaranteed monthly for the rest of our lives for both of us. It's a spousal income thing.
But I don't know if I could make an argument in a different interest rate environment why it may make sense.
So 15 years ago, if you called us, we would have said that's a great idea. 15 years ago, we recommended some of these products. But back then, they were very different products.
They were inexpensive, and they were benefits rich. Right
today,
now,
they're expensive and benefits poor.
Relative to what they were and relative to what your portfolio is right now in bonds and cash. And quite frankly, we appear to be in a rising interest rate environment.
Although nobody can predict where rates are going.
That's why I said it appeared to be. So I don't see a ton. Are you worried about the portfolio?
Well, no, but I'm concerned about giving up. You know, what my bonds have been getting about 4.5%. So they've been pretty healthy, and they're very secure, right? And I don't see the need personally to give up, you know,
security. Then don't.
I agree with you. Yeah. That's we're trying to justify the reasons you should, and we can't come to a decision as to what.
If you are saying I'm nervous about things,
yeah, I'm worried about running out of money.
I wish I had more guaranteed income. Boy, the markets are driving me crazy. I'm scared. All right, well then maybe we look at, do we take some portion of this and figure out a way to secure it even more? But that's not what you're stating.
I have about $800,000 in the equity side of my retirement. Wouldn't that be a better place to take out money and put it into an annuity?
Slow down for a second. You have $500,000 here. You have $800,000 where?
In equities.
And all of it's in equities.
Okay, so your allocation is not quite 50-50 then, right?
No, I'm sorry. I guess it's not. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I actually kind of like the concept is that's matching that you have the bonds presumably for risk mitigation. So if you were in fact wanted to say, I want to have some secure income, I do like the concept of let's using, the bond portion of the portfolio because you're really kind of matching.
Yeah.
But the challenge of doing, if you did that, now you're even higher percentage of equities. Now when the markets take the next tumble, you know, how are you going to react then would be the question I'd have.
So. Yeah, but Scott, so
I agree. That's part of my concern.
So, Joe, let's step back for a minute because you're viewing these as different buckets, but they're really all the same, right? Just because they show up on different account statements, if they're both
or
either.
Or do they?
Well, there was an $800,000 account and
a $500,000. Are they two different accounts or one account?
I'm sorry. I don't understand the question.
Are these all in one account?
Yes. I'm sorry. Let me back up a little bit. I did something wrong. I have $800,000 in the equities, and I have $800,000 in my bonds, of which it's recommended I take $500,000 and put it into the
system. Oh, got it. I wouldn't touch a thing. I wouldn't touch a thing.
Really? How have you felt about your? How did you do during the financial crisis? Did you pull everything out into cash, or did you write it out, or
which crisis? 2008 or the recent one?
2008.
I did fine. I didn't do that bad. Maybe lost 20%. They had everything pretty conservative.
But you didn't change your portfolio allocation at the bottom of the market.
I don't recall that I did.
Okay.
I switched jobs and programs.
And you're going to retire in 2 years. How much income are you going to start pulling from this $1.6 million you have saved?
Don't know. Haven't really figured that out.
And like $40,000, $50,000 a year?
How about 40? That's probably
okay. You have no need any sort of an annuity product.
Don't.
Your head is completely on straight. You understand the volatility in the marketplace. Your portfolio is 50% stock, 50% bonds and cash. You don't really need that much income off of it as a percentage. If you take out $40,000 on a $1.6 million portfolio,
you're running
at your required minimum.
And is this the advisor you've had for a long time, or is someone new trying to sell you something?
Recent.
I wouldn't
talk to him.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't talk to him.
The one thing about those products, they tend to pay upfront commissions.
Oh, yeah, I assume that, yes.
Yeah.
No.
You don't need any of that.
And if you want an advisor, get one who's just going to be a fee-based advisor that's not going to sell you a product.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my gut feeling.
Yeah. Just tell them nice knowing you, appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, don't even say nice knowing you. Just say no.
Move that equity money and move that into something
else. No. Why?
Here's how I view it. You said maybe you need $40,000 a year in income. You have $800,000 in bonds. Okay. 20 years of $40,000 a year income in bonds. Now, maybe I'm exaggerating, I'm not paying attention to inflation, all that stuff. But the fact is, you have a lot of money in fixed income relative to what your income needs are going to be. That money in equities, you can let grow for a long time.
Two or three market cycles without having to worry about it.
Yeah.
So, and you understand it. The last downturn, you reacted appropriately. You've got plenty of money. You're not going to spend it all in your
and
lifetime.
And those annuities, what he probably didn't talk about is what happens when you and your wife pass away and what's actually left in them. It's not going to work out nearly as well for your heirs.
So
yeah, well, there is a death benefit on the variable annuity.
Yeah.
Whatever's left over, I guess.
Yeah, but you don't need any of this garbage.
I wouldn't do it. You don't need it.
None of it. Well, you're going to...
Borrowing trouble.
The reason you would buy the annuity is for risk mitigation, right? Okay. And there's a cost of risk mitigation, but you don't need it. You don't need the risk mitigation. Your account value is...
Your risk mitigation is you have more than enough money.
That's your risk mitigation.
Okay.
So I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, the gentleman or lady probably talked about all the bells and whistles and really didn't talk about you.
And insurance, there's a cost to insurance, right?
Yeah.
We all realize that. There's a cost.
You know, my gut feeling is to, I'd really like to know what the upfront fee is going to be.
There won't be any upfront fee.
You'll be locked in. It's a surrender charge.
It's a surrender charge for 5, 7, 10, 12 years.
And if you put person would make selling this to me.
How much would that commission? Oh, I can tell you right now.
Maybe it's 5 or 6%.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The university thing doesn't pay off for you. Think maybe you should think about selling some annuities.
I'm in a wrong business teaching school.
Well, you know, so what? Here's the thing. Here's what we talk about. There are times and places when some annuity products make some sense.
For some people.
But they are so misused and overpriced, and the way their cost structure is, the world would be better without them. That's my personal, professional opinion on it.
So you don't just stay away from this person. Just stay away. You're fine.
Let me ask you one more time again. So I shouldn't take any of my equity money, which is another.
No.
And move it safe. No.
Nope. You've got 50%. You have $800,000 in equities. $800,000 in bonds and cash. You're 70, what'd you say? You're 70 years of age? 71. You
got a long life expectancy.
Yeah, you're still working, and which means that you'll probably have a longer life expectancy than someone that is not working at age 71. You're a professional, which means you've got a longer life expectancy than someone that isn't a professional.
And you're in the top 10% of income, which also means you have a longer life expectancy.
So your portfolio is 100% appropriate. 100% appropriate.
Odds are one of you or your wife are going to be in the 90s. And what is a biggest concern, which we haven't discussed at all, is inflation. And your best hedge for inflation would be those equities, not an annuity. That'd be the opposite.
Yeah, so you don't need to do anything with your portfolio.
Okay.
Nothing.
Thanks for the good advice. I kind of like what you said.
All right. Good. Well, thanks.
We kind of like it too. So thanks, Joe. Hope you have a great rest of the weekend.
Good for him. Still working.
He's a professor.
Yeah. I have friends that became professors. They said it was as close as they could get to a job without having
I don't know what I would say on a regular basis. I mean, on a daily basis. If I had to do a two-hour lecture twice a week or whatever it is, I don't know what I would say.
Well, there's a subject you're supposed to be teaching, so you just don't go up there cold.
So I did go. I was invited to speak... I've spoken at my previous university a few times over the years, and once they asked me to come speak to the HR class on 401k plans, that was the subject at the time. I thought it was some piece of cake for me, right?
Yeah.
What I forgot is that a lot of students and business students take classes because they've got a certain amount of requirements and units that have zero interest in the subject matter.
So they weren't interested in the 401k.
Half the students were sleeping or appeared to be like almost asleep, which is probably a very normal thing for a professor teaching a course of something like that.
I can imagine.
And I thought, I can't do this. Because when I speak, I'm usually with people there. They want to come. They show up to hear me talk on something.
That's your hope. They normally go out of their way.
Yes.
They're not required to be at your talk.
Yes, which would be...
which is completely different.
So I have... I did that. I'm like, whoa. I had a new respect for... Just because you're in college. I mean, high school. I slept there most of high school, so I get that, but...
Okay.
I did. Wasn't of interest to me. Just being honest there.
You graduated.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Caesar degrees. High school. Anyway,
actually, one of my children, his grades are great right now, great. And I said to him, "Man, your grades are great." He goes, "Yeah, I'm not even really trying." I said, "Well, your grades were pretty good in the last couple of years. Did you not try at all?" "I didn't try at all."
Well, you do have to turn assignments in and stuff.
You do have to actually. Yes.
Let's head now to Sacramento and talk with Ryan. Ryan, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. How are
Hi,
you
Ryan. Guys? Wonderful. Thank you, sir.
Good, good. My scenario is this. Both my wife and I are 50 years old. We've had a goal of retiring at the age of 55. We are both employed. I am looking to leave my present position and have the opportunity to cash out a lump sum of $125,000 one-time payout, or to receive a monthly lifetime payout of $600 a month. I will get another job. That's not my concern. We're still aiming for retirement at 55 for both of us. But what are some of the implications or benefits of taking one lump sum payout at this age versus taking a monthly payout?
When does the monthly payout start?
It could start as soon as I leave the job. So if I decided to leave next week, if I gave a two-week notice and left in 2 weeks, I could go ahead and start taking it the next month.
Can you defer it until age 62 or 65?
I can.
But if so, the internal return is probably a little over 4% in this market.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we're in an extremely low interest rate environment. Great time. Mm-hmm. We're still all right. Great time for long-term mortgages. Great time for long-term debt on buildings and stuff. Not the best for saying taking savings and locking it up at lifetime rates. And so the way the calculations work internally, the reason it's $125,000 and not $100,000 or $80,000 is because interest rates were low. So if you were in a time right now, if interest rates were the same as they were a decade ago.
Yeah, then your lump sum would be much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So the lower the interest rate in the environment, or what they use is most plans use the PBGC rate, the lower that interest rate, the bigger the lump sum.
So from a statistical probability standpoint, you're much better off taking the lump sum, moving it to an IRA, letting it grow. You've got two risks in doing that. Number one, the risk is you spend the money on something. I'm just saying from experience, right?
Yeah.
You spend the money. Oh, we've got this great opportunity, or this thing came up you don't understand.
Or you put it in some crappy investment product that...
Well, the worst is you spend it.
Yeah.
Second worst is you'd make dumb investment decisions, which is either invest in the wrong products or make poor timing moves. Market's spooky, mm-hmm. you get out. You're 50 years old, right?
Right.
So these are dollars. I presume that you're going to let at least grow for 5 years, and then at that time take some income from this. Would you require income from these dollars? That's $600 a month.
I don't think it would be required, but that is the benefit of having it.
But you can still, at age 55, you retire, you can get income from retirement accounts, IRAs, without being 59 and a half. As long as
Correct.
You set up, yeah. So you can set up a series of payments designed to last you the rest of your life, and it works before age 59 and a half. So
yeah.
you can still accomplish...
It's code 72T.
I know. If it were me, there's not. It wouldn't
I'd take the lump sum, roll to an
wouldn't
IRA.
Wouldn't even be a.
And I would actually probably do at age 50. I don't know, 70 to 75% equities and the rest bonds, cash, and maybe some.
Because your life expectancy is still 35 years, 30
yeah.
years.
And have you done
a long life expectancy?
Right. Although my wife says I don't want to live past 75, and I thought.
She doesn't want you to live past 75? She doesn't want to live past 75.
I think she initially said she doesn't, and then I thought, wow, maybe there's some other plan. So at this point,
she might feel differently at age 74.
Yeah. So
exactly, yes.
Have you done the financial planning to figure out whether this is actually doable or not, that you can retire at age 55?
We have, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
We have a sizable amount of savings, and so the goal has, for probably the last 15 years for both of us, has been 55. Now, when I say retire, it doesn't mean no more working, period. It's something else that I can look at doing some other types of employment, not working the 40-hour-a-week
Sounds
grind,
brilliant.
The 50-hour-a-week
yep.
grind,
yep.
but doing something a little different.
Sounds brilliant.
The biggest challenge is going to be health care, payment of health care for the long term, until we hit that grand age of Medicare. And so if there's an employment opportunity where I can say, you know, I can do some volunteer work and I can then do some employment for pay and maybe even get benefits or partial benefits from it, that's kind of the direction that we've always wanted to
go. And in 5 years, who knows what healthcare is going to look like in the state of California?
Touche, and that may be the reason that we leave California.
Right. That's all right. Well, that too. That too.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that.
All right. Good luck, Ryan.
Have a good one.
All right. It's interesting. You know, so Ryan's of the generation where it's like, I wants to do something different, so I'm going to work hard and have money saved for retirement. I talk to more young people that are like, I want to figure out how to. I was talking to somebody this week, their sister, mid-30s, they take a year off like every 5 years. That's their plan. They save, work hard. They don't have kids.
Oh, got it. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Where do they park?
They care for nobody other than themselves, essentially. Okay. No parents to care. They don't have any aging parents to care for or any.
They're not the normal sandwich generation.
No, they're not. But it's an interesting how they spent their choice.
I spent some time with a gentleman. He's retiring in March. He's an attorney. He's a partner at a firm. And I said, why? He goes, why are you retiring? He's 56, 57. He said, I'm not really retiring. I just don't want to be an attorney anymore. I'm like, I get it. Especially if you're a litigation attorney. Well, imagine going to work and arguing every day.
We talk to more people who, they come to us like, when can I retire? I hate my job. And if it's a year or two out, well, maybe it's worth slugging it out. Sometimes it's worth saying, you know, at age 50, instead of hating your job for the next 5 years, maybe is there a way we can pivot, do a career that you'd love to do today that doesn't feel like work, even if you have to push your retirement out a number of years as a result.
Yeah, just for lifestyle, just because there's satisfaction in that. Yeah. Your job doesn't have to be terrible.
That is correct.
Although some jobs, I think there's no way around it. They're just going to be terrible.
Well, there's some are just high demanding regardless, and they're hard to ever escape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just think about some of the jobs you had in high school and college, how terrible they were.
I didn't have that many different jobs.
Oh, I had a lot. We did a whole series on this show.
We did. A few years ago, we had Pat's jobs. It lasted weeks. Literally. You've had so many jobs.
I've had a lot of jobs. But I've been at this one for 25 years. So if you're listening.
And he wasn't delivering pizzas during the last downturn as a side job either, just to let you know.
So if you're thinking, how many jobs has this guy had? We've been here for a while.
Well, we are almost out of time. But again, want to remind everybody about we've got workshops this week. If you are within a couple years of retirement, or maybe you've recently retired, you're going to want to attend our workshops. We're in the Sacramento region, Tuesday through Saturday this coming week. Also in Denver region, Tuesday through Saturday this week. Go to HanselMcLean.com/workshops for more information and to register. Again, HanselMcLean.com/workshops. We will see you next week. This has been Hansen McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.